Thank you for joining me this evening. I am Dave Schrader. Our guest, Dr. Michael Sala, is a pioneer in the development of exopolitics. He is the author of Exposing U.S. Government Policies on Extraterrestrial Life and Exopolitics, Political Implications of the Extraterrestrial Presence. Dr. Sala was an assistant professor, researcher, and residence in the School of International Service, American University from 1996 to 2004. He has a PhD in government from the University of Queensland, Australia. He is also the founder of the Exopolitics Institute, a nonprofit organization that analyzes the political implications of extraterrestrial life. In the next 2 hours, we will discuss the significance of the Pope's endorsement of ET life as part of universal evolution and what's going on with the live streaming video of UFOs near the ISS during 4 incidents just this October. That's what we'll cover in the next 2 hours. Stay tuned. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Michael Sala joins us now for the next 2 hours. Dr. Sala, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Dave. Glad to be here.
Talk to us a little bit about the Pope's endorsement of ET life. Now, how did this come about and when was this announcement made?
Well, this is really an important development by the Pope in terms of speaking about evolution throughout the universe and on Earth, of course, and mentioning the existence of extraterrestrial life. Even though he didn't use the term extraterrestrial life, he talked about beings of the universe, which covers all forms of life, but of course, intelligent extraterrestrial life. This truly is a very important development because even though the various popes have actually spoken in the past about the Church's support of evolution over creationism, this is the first time that the Pope has actually talked about intelligent extraterrestrial life existing out there and that this being part of evolution. And this is really part of a process by which the Church has actually gotten out in front of the ET issue. Over the years, various church officials have come forward to speak about extraterrestrials in various terms of them being our brothers, of them being capable of receiving baptism. And the Pope himself, earlier this year in March, actually made a joke saying that, well, if Martians came to Earth and they wanted to be baptized, that he would be prepared to baptize them, which has in itself important theological implications. And of course, you know, the Pope there is saying that, well, it's okay to be a Catholic and to believe in extraterrestrial life. And that's very important because for many people in various religious denominations, I find this especially in evangelical Christian denominations, belief in extraterrestrial life is regarded to be something very strange and also viewed to be almost diabolical. And in fact, many Christians of that fundamentalist persuasion, evangelical tradition, actually do view extraterrestrial visitation as a kind of demonic form of human enslavement. So to have a pope, you know, the person who nominally in charge of over a billion Catholics around the world, to actually speak positively about extraterrestrial life is a very important development.
I thought Pope Benedict, the predecessor to the current Pope, I thought he had come out and said during his tenure that it was no longer, the Church was looking at it differently, and it was really no longer a sin or it wasn't wrong to believe that there might be life outside of our planet.
Well, that would have been the chief astronomer for Pope Benedict, and his name is Gabriel Funes, and he came out in May of 2008, which at the time was startling that he actually gave an interview for a leading Vatican newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano, where he actually said that extraterrestrials, if they exist, that they are likely to be more ethically evolved than us because they would not have had the same situation as humanity in terms of needing someone like the Christ to redeem them. and that therefore not only would they be ethically more advanced than us, but they could be our brothers and capable of understanding the Christian message. And he made a number of statements, and then also was a principal in the organization of the very first astrobiology conference held at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences in 2009. And that was a very important development, because basically you had the church playing a role in organizing leading scientists, astrobiologists, astronomers, and so forth, to travel to Rome to actually talk about what would be the implications of the discovery of extraterrestrial life. And so the church under Pope Benedict actually was playing a very important role. And Pope Benedict really did support this and made it possible for his astronomers to come out and make these kinds of statements and organize these events, such as these astrobiology conferences at the Vatican grounds.
How did that reflect through religion? I mean, I thought for so long that seemed that religion was kind of keeping us back from wanting to believe in it, because it might shake the fundamental belief system that we have, that we were the only thing that God created. And here you have the Pope kind of acknowledge and give permission for this information to come out. Did it have an impact in religious beliefs, do you believe?
Well, as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, I mean, the Catholic Church has always been very diverse. I mean, so many different orders and so many belief systems within the one church. And so they've always been very accommodating as far as possible of diverse opinions. And so so you would have some within the church that would probably have a much more kind of orthodox view in terms of not really wanting to talk about extraterrestrial life, because they say, well, you know, if the scripture doesn't explicitly talk about it, then why should we speculate? And that would be kind of similar to, say, evangelical positions on this, and actually talking about extraterrestrial life in more negative terms. But the Pope himself and the various astronomers that are associated with the Vatican astronomy have always been much more progressive in terms of their viewpoints of religion and science. Especially the Jesuit community, they have been kind of like at the vanguard, and many Jesuits actually have leading positions in various scientific organizations at the Vatican, such as the Vatican Astronomy and the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. And so Jesuits tend to be much more open to scientific views and how that kind of is consistent with theological principles. And I think also, you know, one has to look at the history of the Jesuit Church, how that was convened in the 17th century, really to try to help the church really purify itself in the face of a Muslim presence in the south of Spain and North Africa, and with the Protestant Reformation, that the Jesuits were trying to basically make the church relevant in a world at the time that was growing antagonistic of Catholic beliefs or Catholic orthodoxy. And so now in our present era, what you have is a very secular world where Catholic beliefs and orthodox views really don't have much relevance to people. Most people really, at best, are secular. If they even bother to attend church services anymore, it's probably during some of the main festivals like Easter or Christmas. So more and more people, or Catholics in North America and Europe in particular, are really turning away from Catholicism. And this has been a great concern for the Vatican hierarchy, who really, you know, they've very intelligent people, and they see the writing on the wall that the Catholic Church within a generation might really become irrelevant in the place where it really did grow, which is Europe. And so I think that the Jesuits really are playing a role in trying to get the church to be proactive on issues such as extraterrestrial life. And really, I think that there is a kind of an agenda here to position the church to really be an institution that really provides people with some answers over these questions of, well, you know, what is extraterrestrial life? What does it mean to me? And what does it mean for the future and for my children? And I think the Catholic Church is putting itself in a position by sponsoring these conferences, by having its leading astronomers and even the Pope himself now come out openly talking about extraterrestrial life, that they want to put themselves in a position where when this issue does break into the mass consciousness, that people start to understand that extraterrestrial life is real and that we are actually being watched, if not visited by extraterrestrials, then people will want to have answers and people might want some moral support. Like, what does it mean if you're a kind of a believer in an almighty God? What does it mean that now there are these extraterrestrials that have these incredible technologies and abilities that dwarf us? I mean, does that make them gods or something? And so people will want answers to these questions, and I think that's what the church is doing. And this latest statement by the...
Well, let me ask you one thing, Dr. Sala, just to backtrack just a few seconds here. Talking about Pope Benedict, the first, I think, pope to... quit the job within for 600 years and then turn this over. Do you believe that this was setting up so that they could get a mouthpiece? Because this new pope, everybody seems to love Pope Francis. He seems so much more open and accessible. Do you think that this is the new PR campaign of the Catholic Church to try to gain back their followers by adapting to the new ways and bringing people into the fold by showing a kind of new enlightenment?
I think there is an agenda here, and I don't think Pope Benedict resigned voluntarily. I think you know, there was some pressure placed on him to resign and to make the way for someone who would be really a much better public figure and representative for the church in a really growing, hostile, secular world. And I think that people in the church hierarchy understood that they really needed to have someone like Pope Francis come along to really try to hold ground while secularism kind of continues to spread and create an opportunity for the Catholic Church to position itself as it's doing now on issues that today might seem to be very speculative and fringe, you know, belief in extraterrestrial life, but tomorrow might really be a kind of an overwhelming priority for people on the planet where people are looking for answers. And I think to have a progressive like Francis in the papal chair, I mean, that is something that I think those in the church hierarchy understood would be actually very important. And there is another kind of issue here, which is the prophecy of St. Malachi, where there was this prophecy about the final pope. And I think there has been some studies done on the prophecies of St. Malachi, and basically just looking at the number of popes that had been predicted, that it was worked out that after Pope Benedict, you would have the final pope, and this would be the pope that would actually be at the helm of the Vatican during the end times. And I think that there are probably people in the Vatican that were very cognizant of that and really wanted to kind of like expedite that and have the man, someone in there, the final pope, who could really kind of like take the lead as the church entered this final phase of the end times.
And it's intriguing that you bring it up that way, because I look at things that happened like around our country here when 9/11 hit. So many people turned back to church, turned back to looking for leadership and spiritual guidance and understanding. And it seemed that the church was ill-prepared for something of that magnitude with the thousands and thousands of people that returned to church seeking these answers. Do you believe this is a bit of a preemptive strike? Do you believe the disclosure and alien interaction is forthcoming, and that's why the church is starting to prepare, so that they do seem like they are prepared to take these answers and not be ill-equipped like they were with 9/11?
Undoubtedly. I think the church really understands that this issue of extraterrestrial life is something that is going to really rock people's world in a major way. And in times of crisis, major crises, people do turn to religion for comfort, for guidance, trying to find answers to things that their mind can't quite fathom. And, you know, that typically happens in wartime or times of great tragedy such as 9/11. And I think that with the disclosure of extraterrestrial life or the discovery of extraterrestrial life, that'll probably come first. I think there'll be various stages to this, that the worldview of people is going to be shaken tremendously when the kind of anthropocentric arrogance, if you like, that we are at the center of the universe, because, you know, there's no evidence of, so it's claimed that there's no evidence of extraterrestrial life or any life out there, and we are alone in the universe. That kind of breeds a kind of anthropocentric worldview and arrogance that, even though it might not be something that is at the forefront of people's thinking, it's still there. And then one day people will wake up and find out that, well, you know, we are just one race in a galaxy populated by millions and millions of races with technologies far advanced to ours. That's going to really shock people, and it'll be a crisis time for many people. And there have been studies done on this, and that have shown just the Brookings report from 1961, that was a report prepared for the U.S. Congress by NASA. It basically did explain that when extraterrestrial life is discovered, that there will be a kind of societal crisis.
Now, that would have been in the 60s. Do you think, as we sit here at 2014, we've got spacecraft up there, we've got things searching the skies looking for intelligent life and signals, we've been pinged on occasion and we've gotten some weird messages back, it seems like the world is already becoming more enlightened and awakened to the possibility of extraterrestrials? Do you believe that if they did show up in the skies, there would be a mass panic that would push people back to the church? Or do you think that we might be coming to that enlightenment on our own, that, you know, we don't even need the church, we don't need leadership to open us up to these possibilities?
Well, I think that there has been a great process of acclimation since the 60s. You know, we just have to look at Hollywood and how that has produced a countless number of movies dealing with extraterrestrial life, and people like Gene Roddenberry with the various Star Trek series, and sci-fi becoming so popular that at a kind of unconscious level, people are much more prepared now for this issue than they were in the 60s. So I think that the kind of societal collapse that the Brookings report was talking about in the 60s, that would really only affect a small number of the population today. And in fact, there was a Roper poll conducted, I believe it was in 2006, and it asked... there were over 1,000 people that responded in the poll, and asked them a series of questions. And one of the questions was, would you feel optimistic if extraterrestrial life was discovered? And 72% said that they would be very optimistic about that, whereas only it was a roughly 5% said that they would be pessimistic. And I think that kind of like is probably reflective of a great change whereby most people, especially the younger generation, would just see this as something that they could take in their stride. But, you know, there would be the older generation or that 5% of the population, their worlds truly would be rocked. And interestingly, the Brookings report identified scientists as those that whose world would probably be the rocked the most.
We've only got about a minute and a half left in this segment, Dr. Sala. What do you think is the biggest issue that the church is going to have to get past with, you know, centuries of dogma and theology that they've preached to now suddenly opening this door and making it much more accessible for us to not fear what might be coming?
Well, I think the biggest thing that the church is going to have to grapple with the acknowledgement of extraterrestrial life, is passages in the Bible, in the Old Testament in particular, that talk about humanity being created by the Elohim. And people are going to ask, well, by the Elohim, do they mean extraterrestrials? That these extraterrestrials, just genetically engineered us, that we weren't created by an all-powerful God in 6 days, as the Bible, as the creation version says, that we were genetically engineered. And I think that'll be something that the church will have to grapple with. And this statement by Pope Francis really does open the doors or lay the groundwork for responding to that kind of issue.
Let's continue to examine this with our guest, Dr. Michael Sala, right after we return to Coast AM. Dr. Michael Sala joins us for the next hour and a half as we continue speaking about the implications of the Pope's comments regarding our place in the universe, universal evolution. Can you give us, Dr. Sala, a brief introduction and a description? Universal evolution, what does it mean, especially in the way the Pope is using it?
Well, I mean, he is embracing the scientific concept that there was a Big Bang, and that through the process, the scientific process of the universe being created and worlds forming and the organic molecules, the basis for life being created, that through this process, through the evolutionary process, what the Pope is saying is that God was working through that, and that rather than the kind of creationist account of God creating the universe and humanity in 6 days in a kind of almost like a by fiat, that in fact he created life and intelligent life in particular through this evolutionary process where God was working behind the scenes through evolution. And he makes a very important statement that what he said was, quote, God and Christ walk with us and are also present in nature. So what he was saying there is that basically that the natural evolutionary process is one where God and Christ actually reveal themselves to be working. So he's basically embracing the scientific concept of evolution and saying that this is not something for Catholics to be frightened of or to kind of like fight against as being contrary to Scripture, that in fact it fulfills Scripture, that actually it's required by Scripture that the evolutionary process is something that works purely because God works through evolution, and all universal life is a product of this plan that God has put in place through the evolutionary universal process.
If there is proof of aliens and alien intervention in our creation, will that change the fundamental basics of what we believe God is? Will it affect mankind? We'll talk with our guest, Dr. Michael Sala, about that right after this. We're back on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. If you like the strange and unusual, then check out Darkness Radio Monday through Friday. That's my show. And you can listen to UFOs, ghosts, psychic phenomena, monsters, myths, legends, and more. You can check out more information at darknessradio.com. And the best part is, keep your dial tuned right there. You can stream it directly from our website. And right after Darkness Radio wraps up, you can listen to George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM as they continue your journey into the strange and beyond. And for about 15 cents a day, you can become a Coast to Coast insider. It's that easy. Just check out coasttocoastam.com. Become an insider. It'll give you access to over 5 years of past archives. It'll also give you access to live chats, news, photographs, and so much more insider information. So never miss another minute of the best in overnight talk radio. Go check out coasttocoastam.com and become an insider right now. Our guest this evening, Dr. Michael Sala, we're talking about the implications of accepting that aliens may exist and they may be participating in our world. Dr. Sala, how do you think it's going to affect the concept of God when we realize that there are aliens and they may have had interactions and had a direct tie to the way we have evolved?
Well, it's going to be a really major issue for many religions. Many believers in various traditions are going to really grapple with this core issue raised in the Bible. Well, who were the Elohim? They were taught in Sunday school that the Elohim, that plural term, represented this all-powerful God who made man in his image. But when we actually have the truth about extraterrestrial life visiting us disclosed, then the information will come out that the Elohim actually referred to extraterrestrials. And that's going to create a real crisis for a lot of people because they're going to be really trying to grapple with this question of, well, if extraterrestrials were the Elohim and they created humanity in some kind of genetic experiment or some kind of process that whereby they were our makers, then where does that leave God? What does that mean for my faith? And I think that that's going to be a major crisis for a lot of people dealing with this information which is coming down the pipeline. And when you look at the statement by the Pope, he has an answer to that. Basically, the answer to that is that God works through the evolutionary process whereby he uses all of the instruments made available through the evolution of life to fulfill his purpose. And so the creation of man through the genetic engineering of extraterrestrials by no means dismisses the existence or possibility of God the Creator, but actually requires it. That'll be the kind of formulation that the Catholic Church will embrace here and that the Pope is endorsing in this statement, that the evolutionary process requires God to basically be the kind of instrument or the divine plan behind extraterrestrials intervening in human affairs. And certainly there is evidence that extraterrestrials have directly intervened in human affairs in antiquity and played a role in the bioengineering of humanity.
Right, and you'd think that in itself, if this was going on, I mean, I know that there are thinly veiled concepts and constructs throughout the Bible that lead you to believe that they were mentioning aliens. You know, they talk about the wheel in the sky. They talk about the plank that was over the head of the Jews as they made their travels through the desert for the 40 years. So many things that could be manipulated or looked at as though we're talking about alien UFO intervention and craft and things along those lines. If that comes to light now, why weren't they just more clear in the Bible? I mean, if this is going to be something that would eventually be a part of the canon, why hide it for all these years?
Well, I think what you have in the Bible was probably the best attempt that those figures that were trying to describe what they witnessed or what they experienced or what they were told by their families using the language of the time. You know, we need to keep in mind that the founder of Judaism, Abraham, that he came from that part of ancient Sumeria, the city of Ur, and that he emigrated from that and basically started the Israelites. I mean, he was the patriarch, but that he himself was a refugee from Ur, and that Sumeria was a much more advanced, technologically sophisticated society. And even for them, the stories of extraterrestrials intervening and bioengineering of humanity was something that had happened long ago in antiquity. But nevertheless, they had extensive records that they put down in cuneiform text describing the ancient origins of humanity as far as they were aware from what they had been told from these extraterrestrials called the Anunnaki. Now, of course, Abraham, being someone who was a refugee from that part of the world, he took whatever knowledge he could of what had happened there with him, and so there was a succession of prophets after him trying to describe as best they could what had happened in humanity's ancient histories. But I think if you go into the Sumerian texts, what you would find in there, probably more detailed accounts of things that are kind of vaguely referred to in the Old Testament, such as the Great Flood.
How directly does the Pope's statement on October 27th, how is that relevant to the theories that have been put out by Zechariah Sitchin and Arthur Horn you know, regarding extraterrestrial intervention in human evolution, do you believe?
Well, Arthur Horn and Zechariah Sitchin were adherents of the belief that humanity had been bioengineered by extraterrestrials. And Arthur Horn in particular actually identified roughly half a dozen intervention points in the evolution of Earth, where he said that these circumstances or things that happened in antiquity, which are evidence that extraterrestrials intervened in the bioengineering of life, or basically genetically upgrading life. And so this is something that Arthur Horn went into great detail in his book, Humanity's Extraterrestrial Origins. And certainly Zechariah Sitchin, in his Earth Chronicles series, also talked about how the Anunnaki also bioengineered humanity for becoming a worker race that would help with the mining of gold and so forth. But both of these figures, I think that they actually give us an idea of the kind of information that exists concerning extraterrestrials' intervention in human history. They are only really the tip of the iceberg. And so what happens when extraterrestrials do show up and we can actually get information directly from them, and maybe they have technology that actually shows us history as it actually unfolded, then we're going to get a much fuller version of what did happen in antiquity. But I think we already have a good idea that it's going to be very different to the sort of things that we were taught in Sunday school, of God creating man in a single day after having created the universe in the previous 5 days, that in fact the Earth had been bioengineered by extraterrestrials who kind of did whatever terraforming they needed to do and created humanity to fulfill their basic functions.
It almost sounds like the way you were describing it. Some people believe that UFOs and what we think of as aliens might actually be us from the future coming back to time travel to actually try to get a handle on and understand history as it actually took place, as opposed to the storyteller's version of history, but being there and actually watching it. I mean, again, tying it back in when Pope John Paul II passed away and the smoke was being released when they were about to announce the new pope, there was footage of an alien craft in secure airspace near Vatican City. And I remember that being on the news and briefly being touched on at that point. It would almost make you seem like they are here to witness these great moments and sometimes tragic moments in our history to document and get the right information. Where do you weigh in on that philosophy?
I think there is an element of truth to that there probably are time travelers, that technology in time or sometime in the future, that technology will evolve to the point whereby time can be manipulated. But probably there would be certain constraints in how time travelers can interact with us. I think maybe they would come back to kind of really just to observe remotely. I couldn't directly intervene, because if they were to intervene, then the world that they know would no longer exist, because they would have changed the future. So I think there would be probably severe constraints on them not to interfere with us in any way. Otherwise, they might not be able to go back to the world that they left, which basically then brings us back to extraterrestrials being from other worlds, intervening in human affairs and changing things. And certainly we know that there are many billions of habitable worlds in our galaxy alone, and that there are many different extraterrestrial civilizations that could very easily have evolved in many of these worlds, and that we know from various reports, whistleblowers, UFO data and so forth, that there's a lot of evidence that extraterrestrials have been visiting us from distant parts of the galaxy and intervening in human affairs and changing things in very concrete ways, that technologies have been given, and that certainly we could even go to the Second World War and say that the extraterrestrials actually were playing roles for both sides, that both the Allies and the Axis powers, there's evidence that extraterrestrials were playing a role supporting or opposing either side.
It seems to me that once the cat's out of the bag officially and we have proof that extraterrestrials exist, I mean, worldwide proof where the entire planet is in on it, not just some people that speculate, some people believe, some people that are still cynics, but that there is this proof. And you look at the possibility of time travel, as so many people believe might actually occur. That seems in itself to make the belief in understanding of what God is and who God is irrelevant. Because if we're able to traverse back and forth in time, we're able to manipulate the course of space and time fabric, then it would seem like there couldn't possibly be room for one great God, as Christianity would have us believe, and that this might open up the doors more to the ideas of all of the different belief systems and the Norse gods, the different spirits and gods that are looked at from all the different cultures and religions around the world, that there's never going to be one specific answer. It will just be certain layers of creativity, perhaps these different alien races that have had more of a hand in creating who we are and coming together to put us together here on Earth.
Well, I think there will still be that room for people who have a desire to believe in an all-powerful God, that that can now be reshaped in terms of what the Pope's statement outlines, that rather than believing in this being that almost acts like this kind of universal magician that just creates things by fiat, that this all-powerful God works behind the scenes through evolution and through the evolutionary process. So it's really kind of inviting people to develop a kind of more sophisticated faith, that rather than God being an all-powerful being, that God is more this all-powerful purpose that works through the evolutionary process. And so I think the Pope is really, really laying the foundations for a kind of much more kind of nuanced faith for Catholics. And I think he's doing so because he understands what's coming down the pipeline, that the Catholic population, that the believers need to really be prepared for this shocking information that that God, the Creator, the all-powerful Creator, was not someone that was responsible for creating humanity as we know it, that in fact it was these extraterrestrials that played that role in the bioengineering of humanity, but that nevertheless that God chose these extraterrestrials to play that role as humanity's creators, that he was the purpose behind that. So he's really laying the foundations for Catholicism to really kind of mature in a way into a kind of more cosmic religion where God works through the universal evolutionary process.
It sounds almost like you're referring, Dr. Sali, you said earlier that it's interesting that Hollywood has changed and shaped our perceptions of aliens and perhaps helped to desensitize us to the idea so that it might be easier for us to accept at some point. And now it almost sounds like what you're explaining God eventually will be is the Force from the Star Wars movies, that instead of it being a being, it is more of a reckoning, a force that controls the universe, a universal law instead of an omnipotent creator or being itself.
Exactly, yes, that's where it's going. And there's a Catholic theologian, he was a Jesuit as well, Teilhard de Chardin, and he was a paleontologist, and he came up with these concepts of cosmogenesis, that there would be a kind of evolution of humanity in terms of our consciousness, where we would slowly grow into this awareness of Christ being a universal force, or a universal presence, and that God operates in that way. So, so what we see with the Pope, and the Pope, of course, himself is a Jesuit, surrounded by Jesuit advisors, that he's really kind of embracing and moving towards this Teilhard de Chardin's ideas on the kind of evolutionary process, moving towards this kind of Christ consciousness. And that really is the key to understanding why it is that the Pope made this statement that he's very comfortable, as are Jesuits in particular, in general, with the idea that we are evolving to some kind of Christ consciousness.
Our guest this evening and for the next hour is Dr. Michael Sala. We'll be opening up phone lines in the next hour as well. If you have questions, concerns, and thoughts that you'd like to share with Dr. Sala, we'd like to hear from you. When we return, let's talk about the live streaming video of UFOs that have been seen in and around the International Space Station. Four different encounters in the month of October. Is it any coincidence that the Pope has come out in October making these statements? Are we being prepared for disclosure? Is it closer than we could even imagine? We'll find out the answers to that and so much more right here on Coast to Coast AM.